I bet she's a nice girl anyway.
We do have time constraints. The AG needs to leave early. Thanks for being here, AG. Needs to leave by 5. Those of us that travel by bus need to leave by 5. So we're going to try and finish at 4:45 at the absolute latest. 4:45 at the absolute latest, so that people are able to meet their transport. We are a quorum, so we can start. Members will recall that yesterday we went through matters that we had requested a report back on. Didn't quite finish it. We also took a decision that we'll conclude it today and do the financials, but because of the time constraints, I'm suggesting we start with the financial report. It's 2:00 until 4:45. And then from 4:45 to 4:45, we deal with outstanding matters from yesterday. So members and the department, if we can be as brief as possible in our responses and in our questions. In line with our oversight, in line with the new responsibilities that Parliament or committees now have, and in keeping with good oversight, we want to go through the financial report, the current financial or current annual reports that include the financials and the performances of the department. We have debated and discussed and argued about the strat plan earlier this year or late last year. So there's a strat plan. There's actuals according to the Auditor General. And then there would be performance that the department would have undertaken and we would have overseen or not. So those are the source documents that we want to look at, plus whatever we went over yesterday would also inform us. The department had prepared a presentation on 2009-2010 annual reports, and I assume everybody has got this presentation from the department. There should be the annual report, there should be the strat plan, and I think Mpo had prepared some preliminary notes. So really we should be well equipped to be able to make a pronouncement as to whether the department has lived up to its strategic plan. Budgets have been utilize according to their requests at the beginning of the year, and ultimately our recommendations to the Appropriations Committee in terms of what we think the future financial model should be for this department. So that's really the objective, ladies and gentlemen. And I take it that all of us are on the same page. We all accept we all understand what is expected of us. We welcome our friends from the media, from stakeholders, anybody else. Deputy AG, thanks for being here. So apologies for that. And can everybody else prepare yourself? So thank you very much. I'm not sure, Commissioner, how long you had anticipated, but in light of the changes, we'd want you to be as brief as possible so that we can engage. We can't give you more than 20 minutes to do your presentation on your report, and you'll cover the rest as members go through. So we will afford you an opportunity to go through your annual report. You don't have to be as thorough as you might want to be. As we engage, I'm sure members will point you to different areas. Can we agree that by 20 past we open it up for engagement? Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, our stakeholders present here, who will try to be as brief and precise. We are presenting to yourselves the annual report for 2009-2010. This report emphasizes the position of the organization and gives a picture to where we are. We would like, therefore, Chairperson of the Committee, to indicate that for the past 9 years, the organization has been receiving qualified audit opinions. We had indicated when we assumed authority and responsibility of this organization that we shall not use before our time syndrome. We take full cognizance of the achievements and the challenges that face this organization, with a view of the new leadership and the support that we have to change its future and be able to have a clean report. For that to happen, Chairperson, it means therefore certain strategic interventions need to be put in place. Action plans need to be also be aligned with the vision that we have, and also to create an environment wherein we can account fully for the finances that have been entrusted to us. We therefore want to indicate to yourself, Chairperson, and your honorable members, that unfortunately the report that we are going to present today does not deviate from the audit reports that have happened before. Suffice to indicate that it has profound changes that has taken place in the past 9 years, in the sense that the previous annual reports had a number of items under which we are qualified. In this financial year under review, one of the major issues that besets this organization is on assets. I therefore would like to indicate to yourself that I brought the team again here, Chairperson, to be able to provide a high-level overview. Our presentation will be in two parts. The first part will deal with finance. The second part will deal with performance information, which will be dealt by both Mr. Sokela, the CFO, and Ms. Jenny Schreiner. Where there is a need, I'll intervene to indicate who are the appropriate people to respond and to provide additional information. Without much ado, given the time constraints that we have, I'll ask my colleague, the CFO, to go to do a high-level presentation on the financial side. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee, I greet you all. Chairperson, first of all, I would like to correct what has been on the media for the past 2 weeks, that the department is having the irregular expenditure at the end of the financial year. The department did not have an irregular expenditure. And in 2008-2009, the department had an unauthorized expenditure for 483 million, of which it was an opening balance at 2009-2010. But at the end of the financial year, the department had 147 million, which is an understanding which equates to 1%. Chairperson, if I can start my presentation on slide number 4. The department was allocated a budget of 13,834,000,000, but the spending was 13,687,000,000, which left it with 147,202. And the department spent almost 99%, only 1% that the department underspent on. It was only on the four programs, which is the security, care, development, and the facility. Chairperson, I will go because based on the time constraint, I won't go to deliberate much, but most of the understanding was due to the compensation of employees, Chairperson, and due to the non-finalization of the OSD towards the end of the financial year, some of the OSDs, and the payment was not made towards the end of the financial year. And that was based on the program. If I move straight to the GFS, which is the economic classification Chairperson, where it indicates clearly that the savings was under the compensation of employees for those two, for those four programs, as well as the classification of compensation and facilities under the CAPTA project, that's where the savings were. Chairperson, I would like you to spend more time when it comes to the qualification and then what is the action plan that will put in place as a department. As we understand that the department was qualified on assets, it's four areas in assets where the department was qualified on. The first part was on asset was the opening balance, and then the second part was the evaluation, and the third part was the classification of assets, and the last part was the asset verification. Chairperson, we have come with a lot of action plans in order to correct those things. First, on the take-on balances at the beginning of the year. During the migration to the new system, Chairperson, the balance was incorrect, the balance that was taken over. Due to the nature that because there is no enough supporting document, we have engaged the Office of the Accountant General in order to upgrade, because the department alone cannot able to sort out that balance. They need to engage the Office of the Auditor, the Accountant General, in order to come up with a device strategy to say what balances can we agree upon in order for us to move from that balance. As I'm speaking, Chairperson, I'm having a meeting with the Accountant General on Friday at 2:30, so that by the end of December, we know that we got a balance that we agreed upon. Further to that, Chairperson, I am having a continuous meeting with the Office of the AG around the same issue so that I will be able to report to them what is the progress that we are having. That is in terms of, Chairperson, in terms of the take-on balances. When it comes to the evaluation and the classification of assets, Chairperson, in August, we started to send the team from head office to the regions to go and correct the misallocation of assets, the classification, the revaluation. We started in Northern Cape, and then we're ending up at LMN. So as we speak right now, Chairperson, the Office of the Auditor General, we agreed with them that they will be doing the high-level audit on a monthly basis in order to see that there is a progress in terms of the action plan that we put it in place. As we are speaking today, Chairperson, the Office of the Auditor General to do the high-level, they started on Tuesday, so that they will tell us exactly if the intervention that we are putting, it does reap the fruit. But Chairperson, the other area that one needs to look at is in terms of the asset verification, the physical verification. In the last 2 weeks, Chairperson, we advertised the positions of the interns to go and do the physical verification to make sure that each and every asset is there. It does appear to the asset register. Because as we are speaking right now, some of the assets were not appearing to the asset register, and others which are appearing to the asset register were not physically identified. So we are hiring the interns in order for us to, in order to achieve that, Chairperson. The other intervention, Chairperson, as we indicated to the session yesterday, that the department is, in terms of capacity, is very, very low. the vacancy rate when it comes to the finance and the supply chain is very, very high. But I'm pleased to report that in the next 2 weeks, Chairperson, we're going to advertise a lot of positions for finance and the supply chain in order for them to address all the queries that we are having. And also, Chairperson, in terms of to address the queries, we are not only focusing. We are not only focusing on assets. The reason for that, we are not focusing on assets. We are focusing on four areas, on four key areas. Chairperson, to chair with this committee, on the 15th of May, we had a meeting with the Auditor General himself, the Minister, the National Commissioner, and myself, in order to identify what is the risk of this department. What was identified by the Auditor General at that time was in terms of the asset management, in terms of financial management, in terms of the compliance, in terms of the performance information. At this point in time, Chairperson, we have prepared the action plan which will address all those areas that have been identified. The reason why we are not focusing only on assets, because by the time when we got the unqualified, we don't want to get unqualified on one area and then the other one is coming up. We need to sort everything out. The other intervention that we've done, Chairperson, is in terms of preparing the annual financial statement on a monthly basis. The reason why we are doing the monthly financial statement on a monthly basis is because it's easy to pick up areas of concern on a monthly basis rather than to wait for a year end. The reason being it's easy when it comes to the year end will be like any other month, of which if we pick up the problem this month, it gets resolved the following month without waiting for the end of the financial year, Chairperson. Chairperson, that is the status at the high level of explanation, but when the question is arrived from the members, then I will be able to respond accordingly to those chapters.
Thank you very much. I'm hoping that members followed you have read, but let me kick start and refer the department to page while members are getting their feet, 114 of your annual report. I want to deal with the environment. Members will deal with the other finances. I just want to deal with the environment and ask the department please to explain to us what's happening. Well, before I deal with the environment, you under your reasons for underspending indicate that there's a 22.6 million rand that you've requested for a rollover for PPPs. Now you need to explain to us when do you anticipate using that money, because if you're rolling money over, and when I get to the environment, you'll see that you are shortchanging some of these programs, then we have a problem. Because you can't roll money over and in the meantime not provide ARVs type of thing. So that is the first area that. Well, my first question is this rollover of 22 million rand. Is it going to be used next year? That's the first question that I'm asking. But when we go to the vitamins, you know, I in program number, or if you take your admin, you increase admin by 14 million. And it was due to shifting funds from other programs to fund shortfalls under goods and services, which are mainly related to expenditure on store items for inmates. All right? And then you go to every program that we deal with there. The vitamins have to do with goods and services.
If you go to the security program, the net decrease was 60 million rand. And you say that that decrease was the result of non-spending of funds allocated to finance posts in Kimberley. The decrease was because of non-filling of posts. Remember yesterday you were the people that were fighting with us about Treasury asking you to reduce posts. The impression we received was that there's serious pressure on vacancies, and the reason is because Treasury has put this... in fact, we've written to Treasury, and we've asked them for their comment. So you need to explain that to us. You go to program corrections. You increase it by 19 million rand, and you say that's for OSD. That's fine. We could understand the OSD issue, but we then go to care. You decrease care by 25 million rand because you have savings on goods and services. And non-clearing of internal charges. So you've moved 25 million rand from there. Under program development, you reduce it by 18 million rand, and it says a shortfall under goods and services on agriculture. So you moved 18 million rand there because of a shortfall on agriculture. I would just, maybe you haven't, but you know, I looked at the financials for the previous year, on page 75 of the previous year's financials. Under the same program, okay, there was a net decrease of 67 million rand. Funds were also shifted from this program to the program development, mainly due to the shortfall on animal production. Okay? I'm saying there's almost similar reasons for decreases from the previous year. You're now saying agriculture was, there was a shortfall on agriculture, so you've moved funds there. Just on the next page, you have inventories at the end of the year on agriculture, 19 million rand, 18 million rand. Now, on the one hand, we ask to move funds there because there's a shortfall, but at the end of the year, we're sitting with stock of exactly the same amount. My argument would be that, you know, this is not a profit-making organization. I don't think any good organization wants to limit the amount of stock on hand as far as possible. We're sitting with 18 million rand stock at the end of the year. You've asked for an increase for 18 million rand because of agriculture, and I'm talking about stock on agriculture. It seems to be a contradiction to me that you have surplus agriculture of 18 million rand, and yet you had deprived some other department of 18 million rand for the very same thing. And there are services that are not being delivered in this department. So that is something that please explain to me. Facilities, we have increased facilities by 22 million rand. And the reason that it's been given in this report, we've moved money to facilities from other programs because of higher than anticipated index fee, which is linked to the consumer price for the PPPs under goods and services. That's your reason. Higher than anticipated index fees. The year before, we increased that same facilities by 51. The reason? Mainly to fund increase in lease payments for PPPs,
which is linked to consumer price index. Now, it either says to me you don't have a clue about what the increases are going to be, or you're not planning. We can't every year ask for environment because of unanticipated increases in index fees. It's poor planning. And what do we do at the end of the year? We then move money from care, we move money from development, we move money from everywhere else to put it into facilities because we never planned properly. This happened last year. It happened, when I say last year, 2008, 2009, it's happening 2009, 2010. And you still ask for a rollover for 22 million rand for facilities. Now, I would need this department to explain to me, because from where I'm sitting, it seems to me that come end of the year, we play musical chairs with our budget. We call it fiscal dumping in where we come from. You move from here to there, and you've just given any reason. You can't tell me that it's, for 2 years you can't anticipate the CPIX index for facilities. The same reason every year. At the same, my biggest concern, ladies and gentlemen, is that these things are being done at the expense of services where we need them. We've forever been complaining in this committee that the budget has been skewed away from development, skewed away from care, skewed away from all those things. We get a financial statement that shows us all these changes in environments. We're not even talking about actuals. I want to register our dissatisfaction with your planning. We also want to understand, when you say goods and services, what do you mean when you say goods and services? Because for us, that has been where you've been hiding most of the things that have been undesirable under goods and services. Consultancy fees, outsourcing, all these things have been going to goods and services. So I want to paint the picture so that when members contribute on the specifics, you understand what our difficulties are. Commissioner or CFO, would you guys want to explain these environments in almost all your programs? If you could just tell us what these environments are about, and also the rationale for the request for rollover for the 22 million rand for PPPs. My final point, and I'll keep quiet for the rest of the day, and allow other members to speak. I'm very serious. On page 119, I want to take the controversial ones, because I know my members are very polite. So let me take the heat for the one. On page 119, I just want to understand this thing. You know, On the PPPs for facilities, for the current financial year, total cost incurred by the department is 729 million rand for PPPs. 729 million rand. We've got a 25-year contract with these people. We've just built Kimberley. Cost us about that amount of money. And Kimberley now belongs to us. It doesn't belong to us after 25 years. I'm trying to understand the rationale, because we're going to have a big fight when we go to the PPPs in future. Can the department explain to us, and Treasury and the Auditor General and everybody else, just explain to us, if it's 728 million rand a year for the PPPs, we're talking about two of them, granted, and yet to build one costs us about the same amount of money, is it not better for us to build these things, own them, get them out of the way, as opposed to be paying PPP 728 million rand a year? And you argue that you did this because of cash flow problems and so on. I don't understand. I really don't understand the rationale that we've been using on these PPPs. So if you could just give us an overview on all those concerns of mine, and then members are able to ask anything else on the finances, but these are the matters that bugged me last night when I was preparing for your report. Thanks, CFO.
Thanks, Chair. people in finance will get into the financial issues. I want to refer to page on the environment, 114. You raise the issue of the rollover of the 22 million. Chair, without getting into the details which will be provided by my colleagues in finance, the 22 million that you see there, indeed, it is being used. We are going, but there is an amount of 12,600,000 that is going to be provided for and paid for the transactional advisor for the work done in terms of the review that has been given for the triple P's. So there is a reason for that. We do share your concern on this matter. Certainly the response is that the balance of 9.9 million, I should think my colleagues will be able to respond to that. I therefore request the CFO, Mareka, to be able to provide. There are so many questions, especially on the environment. There are lots of them, so I would like the team to have the CFO, so it shouldn't become an individual issue. Thanks, Chair. Because some of these issues, he was not here himself in his defense. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, Commissioner. I think when it comes to the environment, I will request that Mrs. Mareka to respond to some of these issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I come to the specifics in terms of your question, I think it would assist to give the committee a brief context in terms of the financial year under review, what the department was facing. What had happened is that for the implementation of OSDs, the variety of them, we did not have any original allocation for the year under review made to the vote of DCS. For 8-9, we had to implement the OSD for educators, the OSD for correctional officials. We are talking now on correctional officials, which is the majority of the DCS workforce. And we had the OSD for pharmacists, the OSD for medical practitioners. These various OSDs impact on DCS because as DCS, we embrace all professions that are found in government. So what had happened, because we had to implement these OSDs that flow from the resolution number 1 of 2007 that was signed between government and labor, when we were to implement, it was a signed resolution, so there's an obligation on the part of the department then to implement. Seeing that we did not have any original allocations, there was interaction between the department and Treasury on the various OSDs. Others, their mother departments, we are kind of, as they are signed, they then implement. But the one that is led by the department was the OSD for correctional officials, which was, in terms of the quantum, the biggest as well. So what happened then in 2008-9, so the resolution was signed in June 2009 for implementation 1st of July 2009. So we did not have an original allocation. So as a department, a decision was taken, a conscious decision that we need, therefore, seeing that there's no flow of funds originally, to then rearrange the budget of the department, whether an obligation is there, a resolution is signed. So if you look at the adjusted E&E for 9-10, you'll see also quite a number of events across programs where we were shifting funds to be able to fund the OSD for correctional officials, taking from goods and services, taking from capital. Hence, in the department, I think also it's some information that we shared with the portfolio committee sometime last year, is that we introduced very tightening measures to be able to self-finance, so we couldn't carelessly say no original allocation, so therefore we'll implement and we'll see unauthorized expenditure. So as far as possible, we then decided that as far as we can accommodate the quantum, let's do so with that reprioritization of the budget, which was done in the AE&E. So there was a lot of belt-tightening measures that were introduced. Hence, also, during the same financial year, the moratorium that was placed on the filling of posts. So what had happened then in the AE&E, we moved then funds to be able to fund. But then what we have now, because this is, if you look at the page 114, it is then the second part, post-AE&E, the environment that affected posts. We had then challenges, but we having implemented those tightening measures, there were still 4 points that we had to address as a department. In terms, for example, program one, the inmate ration. When we were interacting with regions, rearranging, reprioritizing for OSD, but we had to be conscious that while we're doing all of that, that's not the only priority of the department. There are other priorities as well. So we had, therefore, at the time we're taking stock around post the A&E, to look at what are the projections till the end of the financial year. Are we going to be able to meet the basics? And by basics, are inmates going to be fed? Is the animal livestock going to be fed? Just minimal agricultural production and also the workshop production. Hence, then, with the cost pressure that we had on program one, because that's where we buy the ration items for the centers that we are ourselves providing the rations to inmates, had to then do the environment, had to do the environment to be able to close the gap that was there, because we can't say that inmates are not going to be eating because they're implementing OSDs. So in program one, we had then to go and increase the program one to be able to find that kind of a cost pressure. On security, what had happened, the department was under Medco as the bulk of the medical aid scheme for DCS. We had other members that were sitting outside Medco, but in terms of numbers, they were very minimal. On GEMS, those are self-initiated migration to GEMS, and other medical schemes. So there was a decision taken by the executive that as a department, we need to migrate to GEMS. Therefore, there were interactions also with DPSA in that regard. Now, you look at the medical aid scheme, their year is calendar year, January to December. The financial year is April to March. What has happened, then we engaged National Treasury, we even put a bid to say that if you look at the normal employer contribution for the other medical aid, you talk 1084 in terms of each member as a maximum that the employer will contribute. But if you look at GEMS, it's more than double the employer contribution, which became a cost pressure that initially there was no original allocation for. We had interactions with National Treasury in that regard at MTED and post-MTED in terms of bilateral. So in the projections that were received as a department, we received them from Medco, from GEMS, to say these are the number of officials that are on Medco in the department. When they do migrate, equivalent to the type of benefit scheme that they are under Medco, that was an assumption because, as I said, members had not filled the option forms whether they want to migrate to the Onyx or to Sapphire, because depending on the benefit, you as an employer will contribute more. So the most expensive, the last one, on GEMS is Onyx. So what then Medco did, they made some projections for the department, we engaged National Treasury. Our understanding being that during the month of December, because the medical aid just started in January, so when members migrate from Medco to GEMS in January, effective 1st of January, then during December, there is an obligation on the part of the department in terms of employer contribution. Normally, in terms of medical aid schemes, you have a contribution that is in advance. But what had happened then in terms of GEMS, later on we discovered, whilst engaging the National Treasury, that no, GEMS is an arrear contributing medical aid scheme. So effectively, in terms of our projection, we had, therefore, a surplus in terms of projection, the one that we were targeted to spend in December for January contribution. But now GEMS is an area contribution. It means in December that money we didn't pay it. Then in January, we're paying for January. In February for February. So we had that money available there. Hence, therefore, we had to decrease both bulk of our officials are sitting under program two. We had, therefore, from the compensation budget to be able to decrease that and then go and catch the other programs that were having serious critical shortfalls that we had as a department. In under corrections as well, you have mentioned that basically here, for what happened in terms of us implementing the OSD for correctional officials, there are three streams, one being security, the other being corrections, and then the third stream being social reintegration. So what had happened is that bulk of our officials were under security, but then with the OSD, you had then to have officials in the other two streams. So we had shortfalls for implementation of OSD for the second stream being corrections under program corrections, hence the forehead to make that particular violent. Under program came, we had to shift the funds because we allocate in terms of nutrition services, in terms of care. I will say that at the time of allocation, there was kind of over allocation. I won't put it like that, because even at the time when we implemented tightening, all programs we touched them except the very critical programs that when we reviewed the allocations that were there, looking also at the contractual obligations that we wouldn't tap to. So what had happened is that we're still having a system in the Department of Internal Charges. Yes, we did away with that as a program, was by definition a program. It is not a program that we engaged AG, we engaged National Treasury at the year, we're phasing it out as a budget program, but it's not. But if you look at your accounting system, BAS, you still have internal charges because you have that process in the department where you would buy in bulk. When you buy in bulk, you keep it in your stores, but then at the time the necessary program needs that, you have to do the issues. So when you do the issues for accounting purposes, you still have to account for that. So that's one part. There are discussions with Treasury. We've done some research, some benchmarking across national departments, provincial departments, to see how best can we do our accounting, doing away with the internal charges concept. So far, we do not have a solution that is clean. And we have heard that deliberately in consultation as well, to say that we do not want to move to a concept that will create audit queries for us, or that will also be too complex for the workforce, because currently we do have challenges. Some people that are working in logistics, in fact, most of our workforce in logistics, those are not financial people. So if you come in with a whatever solution, we don't want a solution where people are going to be so frustrated, then run away and say, anyway, I'm not a finance person, I don't understand this complex solution that you are employing. So that's one part that we have got, internal charges. So the challenge there is that once you buy on inventory on program one, on issues it goes to these programs. Because you do that, you estimate that, okay, fine, I'm buying so much for inventory from each, for food supplies and all that. Basically, your concept is what was there in stock at the beginning of the year, how much purchases that I'm budgeting for, I'm going to add, how much issue. Therefore, build your internal charges concept. But that's an estimate. So at the end of the day, you need to look at what generally has been processed through the now issue. We call it monopoly money because we issue to ourselves as a department at a vote level. So we had therefore to look at that and then try to say, yes, we're sitting with this money that has not been cleared, because you find that at the time then we're doing that estimate, there might have been in terms of issues and overestimation. So we've had then to balance the record to be able to give that money to the programs that were feeling the pressure. On development, indeed. At the time of doing best testing measures, we're looking at the critical aspects around development, be it animal production, be it agricultural production. But at the end of the day, when we're continuously interacting with the region, there were some very serious cost pressures that they had. And what we also experienced, which is something that has been common over the past 2-3 years, that the inflation, especially around the agriculture and the animal fodder, is just so abnormal, very abnormal. Certain items, the fertilizers, we had inflation of about 70%. And and if you look at what the Treasury gives us in terms of inflation adjustment, it was about 5%. So you look at that instance, you can't say don't buy fertilizers, but you have to self-finance the inflation adjustment. It's an issue that year on year we are raising with National Treasury to say that when it comes to the department, sometimes it is not fair just to get a straight inflation adjustment. We would rather have a model that will look at the dynamics of the department in terms of agricultural production, what is there in the market, the food production part, and then the other normal services. And also the medical part, but again, that one becomes above normal inflation adjustment, especially the medicine for animals as well. And have a model that will give us an average that will work in DCS. But year on year, we keep on doing these adjustments because that's just normal inflation. Not that we did not know, but what is provided in terms of the allocation letter is just a straight 5%. You go through AENE and say, practically, here are figures, animal production, go to the market yourself, test the market, inflation is way above what government is providing, then finance yourself. That's why we've got to do it. But if ever we engage Treasury and we are told, reprioritize within allocation, that's what we need to be doing as a department. In terms of facilities, again, as I've indicated, is that we for the PPP, because the environment that was done under the facilities is for the existing two PPPs in terms of the index fee. Same happens, we do have a model, and every time we look at our calculations that we built in the original allocation, and you look at the actual, because the fifth component is not an issue, because that one is fixed there on, as indicated on page 177. In index fee, I mean the fixed fee for the PPP contract and the index fee. But on index fee, we do have a model and it works. And then we project, we plan the figure, we would have a figure. Then we say, this is what we need. But if as a department you're saying this is what we need and you are given to say anything, it's also, when Prayer gives us allocation letter, is written that anything above the 5% of inflation that government has given you, reprioritize that. And that's what we have to do year on year as a department. But sometimes it becomes difficult to say, if I'm going to now build the abnormal inflation from the original allocation, which program do I actually shortchange? So what we then do is to monitor month by month, quarterly at budget committee level, to say who is performing, who is non-performing. There has never been a deliberate, except at the time of us implementing OSDs, where deliberately we then said, let's implement the tightening across programs, except contractual obligations. Where we would say, in a normal year, like for example this one, preparing next year, where we would deliberately say, we're going to shortchange care to pay for the index fee, inflation, abnormal inflation adjustment, or for petrol, or whatever is abnormal. We've never done that. But always it is in response of saying that with all the priorities that as a department we're supposed to be delivering on, anyone who's not performing, because you can't, again, have a money on a program that is not performing. Any program that is slow in performing, very slow in performing, that's where we'll reprioritize. So if you look again this year, you will also see that when we come next year, we'll come with some violence. And I must say here and now that there will also be significant violence in terms of quantum. Because we have done that exercise, and at an executive level, at a budget committee level, there is that satisfaction that you need. For us to be able to still deliver on these policy programs, we need to reprioritize where there is low expenditure.
Thanks, ma'am. You'll come to the other one. Just on this one. You know, when you wrap up, you're going to need to explain to us, how are we going to ensure that your budget talk to the white paper? Because that was the ultimate question that I was asking. Because if you keep on chopping and changing, and you're telling us it's because of index and it's because of all these type of things, we're never going to get a situation where the budget talks to the white paper. That was our concern. But you don't have to get into much detail around that one. Please explain to us the PPP story, just very briefly. We're not going to touch on it again. Spending of 700 million rand versus buying a building for 700 million rand. What is the rationale for that? Can somebody just explain that? How much did Kimberley cost us? 800 million? Kimberley cost us 800 million. Here we're spending 700 million rand. Somebody wants to talk to us? Yes, sir. Yes. No, I see the light.
Can I answer?
Yeah.
I think as you rightly said, there's two facilities that are compared, where Kimberley has included the others. But on the agreement with the PPPs are that they may also maintain the facility. So the maintenance budget you don't see in the capital budget of Kimberley. There's a separate budget that Public Works uses to maintain facilities. So that's why our capital budget actually is supposed to be solely for new major upgrades. And currently this year we've got 850 million rand that Public Works have allocated for maintenance for correctional centres services. So that's a separate budget. So that will also explain this juncture. But there's also a financing, CapEx financing fee that comes in terms of them, because they have to lend the money privately. And that has to be paid back.
So,
yes, there's a CapEx side to the PPPs, and then there's the operational payment. And there's a time frame in terms of the CapEx that's shorter than the 25 years that stops and then the 25 years continue for operational. But maybe for more detail, maybe Mr. Ngubu, who is actually running the contracts, can comment on that.
No, it's fine. We're just alerting you. We'll talk and let's talk. We're just alerting to you to the difficulty that we have wrapping our head around the PPP model. It's just a difficult concept for us to wrap around our head. At some point, we must have a discussion around just the PPP issue. It just 25 years paying 700 million rand, I'm sure I could buy facilities for that amount of money if I saved that money. So let's have a discussion. I'm asking the AG and everybody else to help us with this type of thing. Yeah.
Thanks. I should think both the portfolio committee and this team sitting this side, we're speaking on the same issue. I'll explain to you. The issue of the triple P is a very debatable issue and very hot. You would recall, Chair, when we addressed your team that the minister and the collective here met with the bidders sometime in August. The matter that was on the table is a review of the triple P issue. The current triple P projects that we have, the Mangaung one and the one in the north in Limpopo, do not address fundamentally the needs of the organization. Now, your concerns are not misplaced, Chair. That is the reason why the minister wanted to look and provided a policy review and direction on the issues around the triple P. Sitting here representing this organization and the ministry, the policy review that the minister put across to the bidders is for us to be in charge for the core business for which we are responsible. In short, what it means, the two PPPs, we are not in charge of them. Now, what it means, therefore, this department, representing the interest of government, would like to have a situation wherein we have full control in running the facility. Perhaps where we might have a discussion around is that we may allow private funds to build and maintain, but the core business is devolved to the organization. That's the core. Now, on the merits of the amount that we're speaking about, because the cost implications in building facilities of this nature are very exorbitant, and we believe sincerely that if the policy review is accepted and taken on board as we speak, and this committee supports that policy review, then we can speak a different language. Chair, it is not too late for this committee to engage and be able to assist the ministry in achieving this objective. Because you'd agree with me, Chairperson, although I've not been able, I should think I need to apply if I want to go to one of these facilities and speak with management. I, as a national commissioner, cannot rock up in one of these facilities any time to come and review the programs and projects that they have. So that is the biggest concern. Now, I want to put to the committee that the support that we seek, that the minister seeks, should be supported on the basis of the principles in terms of the core business that we want to entertain going forward. That's the rationale and that's the basis, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. AG, you want to come nearer?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I just wanted to make a comment which is not specific to correctional services, but around the public-private partnerships. Maybe it might be of help to the committee to also consider asking National Treasury as well as the Accounting Standards Board, because the Accounting Standards Board, among others, as mandated by the PFMA, is also responsible for developing accounting standards on the area of public-private partnerships. And I think it will be of help, because in doing that, they also take their guidance from the International Public Sector Auditing Standards Board in looking at the development of public-private partnerships. And I think when one looks at the current work they are doing on PPPs, there's certainly a number of risks and opportunities that are highlighted in the entire area of PPPs. And certainly in government, not only correctional services is looking at that as a financing option for large, complex physical infrastructure. Other institutions or departments like transport, among others as well, in various other projects also look at PPPs. So I think it's an area for the committee to consider, just to take a high-level view in terms of what is contained, what are the issues in respect of different types of assets that are funded via a PPP, so that by the time you engage the annual financial statements, at least there's a high-level picture as to those that consider the issue of PPPs, what is it that they elevate from a risk point of view. But certainly not all of them are risk-free, but at the same time, not all of them are high risk. It might just be helpful to consider the tripartite of the Accounting Standards Board, the ASB, and possibly the National Treasury and the Auditor General to give input on it.
Thank you very much. Before we allow you, let's open it up to members around the finances. If any member has any questions around the finances, we will move to the performance later. So if we can limit it just to the finances, any questions around the finances that you would need further clarity more than what the CFO has already clarified? Mam Nyanda?
Thank you, Chairperson. The department this year, last year, the financial year 29 to 10 started with a deficit of 483 million, which affected a number of strategic projects across the budget program. I just need a clarity there.
Can we repeat
this? Page 131. I hope department is following. Somebody wants to venture a response? The deficit that we started off with that affected various programs across. Can somebody talk to us? CFO and then Ms. Moreka.
Chairperson, it's true that the department started on the opening balance of a deficit. As we indicated earlier on, Chairperson, that the department was engaged on a belt tightening exercise to make sure that the deficit that we as an opening balance, so that we can able to stay within our budget. The department put it a very strong mechanism to make sure that within that deficit we were able to spend within our budget that was allocated to our chapter. Thank you.
Ms. Moreka, anybody else? Finances? Mr. Alka?
Why don't you go, sir? Chairperson, when it comes to financial management, one gets the impression that there is a lack of leadership. You see, an effective organizational structure that places people with appropriate accounting skills in asset management, especially at regional level, seems not to be in place. And this is now an organization, sir, which is nationwide. Everything is not controlled at the center in Pretoria. I think the problem, sir, is that we lack leadership, adequate leadership, competent leadership at the various levels where you have the expenditure taking place. And, Chair, one gets the impression that action is not does not take place to address the risks relating to the achievement of complete and accurate financial and performance reporting. And these are the sort of things that need to be put in place. Now, Chairperson, with regard to the statements made about the requirement of inflation adjustment. You see, when you are carrying out any activity, whether you are growing your own food, whether you are making your own uniforms for the inmates, or whatever, you normally make a projection of your requirement. And based on that, of course, your budgets are worked out. But when you talk of inflation, the sort of inflation that we have experienced in the past few years has not been an exorbitant one. It hasn't been in the upper double digits, for example. So it is not something that one should say that we require this kind of adjustment. If it's a 5% adjustment, 7% adjustment, I am certain that sort of thing can be accommodated and should be accommodated. But Chairperson, when you are self-sufficient in respect of certain commodities, it would mean that you are saving that kind of money in purchasing those commodities in order to provide, for example, the rations. So the one actually cancels the other out. And I think the emphasis, Chair, should be that we should go the route of working towards optimum self-sufficiency. I think that is where the answer lies. Because you have 160,000 warm bodies that are lying idle. And that, Chair, takes me to the information that is being provided. And this is all to do with money, Chair. For example, at a presentation on the 26th of August last year, Chair, it was reported here that 2,951 offenders participated in agricultural activities. This annual report before us states that for the whole financial year, 2009-10, only 2,905 offenders participated. And this is a reduction of 46 offenders as compared to the August presentation. And we've had an offender population that increases. Now, what is it that we are doing or not doing to get people interested in doing some work? Why don't we have some other incentives? Human beings, if we can actually land on the moon and present a World Cup second to none, I'm sure that we can arrest these situations. I'm sure that we can do things far better. Chairperson, another problem. You take, for example, the report says on page 86, the average number of offenders involved in production workshops were 1,745. 1,745, Chair, out of a population of 160,000. This is 36.3% lower than the 2005 baseline. Lower totals can be ascribed to availability of suitable offenders to participate in workshop activities. May Machtig, Chairperson, what sort of suitable offender are we looking for? An offender is an offender, is a human being. He's got certain skills. If he has the skills to offend, he also has the skills to put things right. And we are not looking at that aspect, Chair. And Chair, just this morning, a complaint came through, for example, that at the mechanical workshop in Pretoria Correctional Center, that the mechanical workshop has been closed down. And it is alleged, Chair, that it closed down because an official had brought in a motor car to be repaired there without following the laid down procedures. Now, Chairperson, there are a total of 47 offenders, so your next report will reduce by another 47 at least, that are now sitting idle, that are not doing anything, if this report is true. I'm qualifying it. Now, Chair, the annual report says a number of things. But then in practice, this is the sort of thing that's taking place. Chair, again, the question is, do we have the dedicated leadership with integrity that can take this institution forward? Because, Chair, let me remind everybody here.
Before you remind everybody, two things, sir. One, you're going to have to try and finalize it so that other people can speak. But number two, I think we've reached the point where we're no longer going to ask questions. We're going to prefer opinions. So you don't have to ask, does the department think that they are suitably qualified? I think you must make a pronouncement.
They must be suitably qualified.
Or I don't think they are suitably qualified and we will dispute it or whatever. Because I think the time has come where we must pronounce now. Let's say, look, as Parliament, we don't think you guys are up to speed. So let's stop asking rhetorical questions and let's start making statements. So if you want to make a statement, you make the statement. And people will defend it or reject it. So please, sir, if you can wrap up, but yeah, make your last...
Chair, here's my last one, Chair. Catering. The 2008 task team, which was to conduct an audit to evaluate and assess the extent to which the service provider complied with the contractual requirements and whether the DCS derived any value for money out of the outsourcing of catering services. And it was to determine the extent to which, whether you had determined the extent to which skills were transferred to officials and offenders, and the extent to which DCS products were utilized. Where are the results of that particular audit? We haven't seen it yet, Chair. We want that audit. We want to know what's happening. Thank you, Chair.
Department, if you want to respond to any of those comments, please do so. Commissioner and then CFO.
Chairperson, we appreciate the comments and inputs made by Honorable Abrams on the question of leadership. I should think I need to respond to this in a manner that would meet the requirements of this organization. Chairperson, we have as leadership identified that with respect to the audit of skills required for correctional services to be able to execute its mandate, there is a need for us also to cascade leadership ability to the regions. We have identified three critical areas. One, internal audit cannot be a function that operates from HQ. Two, internal control within the organization also needs to be activated within the regions, because if we leave these things in the manner in which they are, the questions raised here cast aspersion to the leadership of this organization. It is true, Chairperson, that we have not done that. We have taken a conscious decision at management level that all regions will have to have all these disciplines represented at regional level. Because the issue that the Auditor General has raised on asset verification, which we have been given an opinion, which is qualification, is precisely because we leave things to chance and hope to deal with this matter at the end of the financial year. It must be a situation wherein we have people at all the regions being responsible for the asset verification and management thereof. We therefore accept the responsibility and we accept the opinion given to us precisely because we have not done what is supposed to be done. That leadership is available, yes, at this level leadership is available and we are in a position to provide that leadership as and when it is required. In this instance, we have instituted the process of recruiting all the requisite skills in those disciplines wherein these skills are available at the regional level. It cannot just be at headquarters, Chairperson. I also want to indicate on the issues of internal control and internal audit asset management, these things will be done and are being done. We like to leave this with the committee that it's an oversight which we think it was not supposed to be. And as such, we'd like to move as quickly as possible. Thanks, Chair. I'll leave the matter to CFO on the other issues myself.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of the previous structure of the department, did not accommodate the structure of asset management. But the structure that we are proposing right now, it's going to accommodate the asset management through the regions as well, as well as the component of the internal control and the compliance unit will be accommodated to the structure, because that structure did not accommodate those ones. And also, Chairperson, in terms of the train, when it comes to the asset management, as we indicated that in terms of finance and the supply chain, the vacancy rate was about 80.6%. At this point in time, we're going to employ quite a number of people around those areas. And then once we recruited people, then we'll offer the training, as we elaborated that we are visiting the regions to offer the training that is necessary on the financial side as well as on the entire supply chain. Chairperson, the other level, in terms of the information, of the financial information, we believe that the financial information, it has to be reported on a monthly basis, so that you will be able to analyze the information as it requires, Chairperson. Thank you.
Max, after that, can we ask Jenny to do her part, and then we open it up for everything thereafter, because time is going. But I know to do...
So, okay, that the catering and those things have not been responded to.
They will be responded to. Okay, please remind us of the next one. Mr. Max?
Yes, Chair. Chair, I want to support you as well as the previous speaker on the variances. I think after one financial year, you can identify exactly which of your directorates is fast delivering and slow delivering and whatever. And then you can then properly plan to resource those fast delivering appropriately so that you can have the maximum outcomes. If you continue year after year to fund them equally as before, then you sit with the situation that September you have to move that money. And then you attempted actually to engage in financial corruption, because then you have to spend that money in a particular directorate and there's no time left before the next financial year. So, and therefore it is important that proper planning, as you indicated previously. I just want to make this point here from page 30 to page 33. All of these things which the Auditor General mentioned here relates to what the previous speaker alluded to, proper leadership. And proper leadership, as I read in the papers, is not a degree, is not a prerequisite, or is not a guarantee that you are going to be a proper leader. It is, for instance, a function or a qualification which gives you some extra knowledge. But that is not a solution here. What I would like to see, Chairperson, is that the department here have to draw up a proper plan where they indicate what are they going to do with regard to these things with the Auditor General. With proper time.
You're talking frame. About page 130 to 133.
Yeah.
130, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
132. Yeah.
We had looked at page 130 to 133.
Yeah. So they must actually come and tell us in a proper document with cut-off dates who's responsible for what. Then the other thing is, otherwise you're going to sit with this year after year. The other thing I would like to know from the department, whether they've got an internal inspectorate would go around and have proper inspections on all the directorates within the department, and whether there's regular feedback and actions taken. And with regard to all these things, this managerial shortcomings here, which causes these problems, these people responsible for them, are they still in the service, and is there any action taken to correct this type of behavior?
Somebody wants to venture an answer?
Chairperson, let me speak on the issue of the inspectorate, and then I'm sure the CFO will speak in detail to the action plan He touched on it at a very high level in the presentation, but we can speak to it in more detail. Indeed, we do have an inspectorate. It's set up in terms of Section 95 of the Correctional Services Act. It has a national inspectorate capacity, and it has a regional inspectorate capacity. It is the tool or the vehicle through which we do an evaluation of the Compliance Improvement Plan, which is a plan that has been developed since 2005 to specifically address the issues from the AG's report and from our own internal audit reports and from other inspections. And that is the results of that you will see in our strategic plan when we report on the Compliance Improvement Plan, that target of increasing our compliance level by 2% annually is reflected on that basis. The inspectorate has historically been focused more on inspecting on core business, and we want to be able, as we address the issue of increasing the capacity of internal audit that the Commissioner spoke on and ensuring that internal audit capacity functions at regional level as well, to then be able to get the inspectorate to move back more to inspecting on core business, on the security, corrections, development care, and social reintegration capacity. But that certainly is the situation with the inspectorate. The second part of your question on inspectorate was whether we have correction plans. The inspectorate reports directly to the accounting officer, and at regions reports directly to the regional commissioner. With the submission of every inspection report, there is a communication for either the national commissioner or the regional commissioner's signature back to the head of the component that has been inspected to say the following is found, and within a time period, it's normally a 6-month time period, we need you to have put in place a correction plan that needs to be submitted to inspectorate, but then gets reported on within a 6-month time period, and then there on certain issues of follow-up inspections to determine whether that correction plan has been put in place. So there is a system in place in terms of inspection. What we need to be able to do is to get it to enhance the core business more than it has been. But I think it's played a critical role in the process of shifting us from the number of qualification areas that we had through to where we are now.
Chairperson, in terms of the action plan being developed, and then it's been communicated with the Auditor General so that we can be monitored against that action plan on a monthly basis at a high level. The action plan is in place to address the concern that has been raised by the Auditor General. Even the other areas that was raised in the matters of emphasis of matters, it's been addressed according to that action plan. It got due dates when each deliverables will be attained. Thank you, Chairman.
Chairperson, can we have a copy of those?
We can monitor them on the performance.
Is it possible? Yeah, fine.
Possible. Chair, I should think we need to respond to issues of care and development.
Can we ask you to do part two of your presentation? So that members can, because we were supposedly dealing with finance and other members seem to be restricted. So just do the last bit of it and then we open it up from A to Z in terms of your presentation.
Chairperson, thank you. With your permission, I'm going to speak to it at a very high level. I'm not going to speak to every single bullet point as we go through. So I don't think that we need to even try to move through the presentation on the screen, if that's okay. It's part B of the hard copy that you have, and we're speaking to the issue of program performance. Okay. I think that the introduction of the National Commissioner has addressed a number of the issues that we've raised in our overview. If one looks at the administration program, I think the financial part, obviously, we've spoken to in detail. The corporate services environment, the critical elements obviously have been the OSD and the 7-day establishment. And I think that those are critical elements that will enable us to move forward in a far better way. But we do want to emphasize in relation to that yesterday's discussion of the staff shortages, the 41,500 as opposed to 46,500, is a critical element that impacts on that aspect. And that obviously, as I think that Nandi has already spoken in detail to how that has cascaded through into our finances. Within the administration program of central services, I think the key element that we would want to flag there, because it's of an ongoing interest to the portfolio committee, is the extent of the conviction rates and corruption cases, the recovery of 2.5 million, I'm on slide 29 if you want to deal with that, the recovery of 2.5 million from the officials that had been found guilty of defrauding the department's medical aid scheme, a process that has been carried on through a number of years. Moving then to the security program, we have seen in that financial year a significant decrease, if one looks back over the last 8-9 years, in the escape. We have flagged in the report an increase in assaults and natural deaths, and I think that's something that we have been engaging with the portfolio committee on it. There has been progress in terms of security technology framework, and it will be against that technology framework that improved planning around security equipment and the use of technology and security will go forward. On corrections program, I'm going to speak mainly to the performance indicators. Reduction of overcrowding, we have reduced it by nearly 4%. There has been significant work in relation to the interdepartmental work on the criminal justice review processes, and in particular the signing of the bail protocol, which has addressed issues around remand detention and facilitated the speeding up and reduction of remand detention figures. The total of the number of offenders, and this is in the category of the over 24 months, and we bear in mind the direction that was given to the department yesterday in relation to those under 24 months, we have got 44,500 offenders who have completed correctional programs, which has exceeded the target that had been set by 7.8%. The correctional sentence plan revision work, which is also a key enabler of our aim to increase offender participation within corrections programs, development programs, as well as care programs. We have compiled 40,500 of that, and you will remember that we are in that sense compiling sentence plans of new admissions and those that are due for consideration of parole consideration. Moving on then to the care program, I think that there has been significant work, and it's linked to what we had reported to the portfolio committee previously around our correctional intervention officials, interim as they are, but the process of ensuring that there are correctional program booklets being distributed and orientation manual being sent to centres is a significant part of enabling the improvement of the quality of the correctional sentence plan processes. On the care program, the information is included in terms of the ARVs. We've got a significantly higher number of offenders on ARVs in the year 2019. Obviously, that figure in terms of our planning is a projection. One would hope that we would not need any need to have offenders on ARVs, but we do. The figure is there. We've got 72,000 offenders who participated in correctional sentence-based care programs or care intervention. Moving then to development, where there are a number of indicators that we have in the strategic plan. We have 78,000 offenders who've been involved in skills development programs. The average number of offenders involved in agriculture during that year was 2,905 versus a baseline of 2,500 from May 2005. And we've heard loudly the portfolio committee's desire for that to be increased. The production workshops, I think we've already had members pick up on that figure. The skills development master plan is in place. The formal education results, I think we have already shared with the portfolio committee at an appropriate time. The increased participation in skills development programs is due to the interest of offenders in the MCV program, the improved reporting on regions, that we've actually got a better sense of what we are dealing with in that regard, and a targeted marketing of the fuels development program. The slide 36 speaks to the target or the percentage of delivery in relation to the production targets. I'm not going to speak to each one of them. You can see there that we have not managed to necessarily achieve our targets in relation to all of them, but in some we have in fact exceeded those aspects. On social reintegration, an important element to reflect on the project to improve the prevention and management of absconding and parole violations, which has led to a reduction in parole violations, and I think in yesterday's documentation we've given you current figures around parole violations. We had hosted the Parole Board Summit that has led to a project to ensure that we can enhance parole. It's resulted in the Parole Board officers and the appointment in this financial year of the Parole Board themselves on a five-year process. Moving to facilities, the completion of the Kimberley Centre, the upgrading of existing centres, we've included the percentage of those facilities. Bearing in mind that these are multi-year projects and they will be moving forward in terms of this financial year. I'm not going to speak to each of the details, those are included. I think then in the conclusion of what we want to highlight here, we need to reflect on what the AG has said in relation to the auditing of performance information. The AG has given us an adverse conclusion in relation to this. The key reasons, and we are now on slide 39, the basis of the adverse conclusions is that there are reasons for major variances between planned and actual reported targets are not adequately explained, that we are not necessarily linking directly to the content of the strategic plan and what we're reporting on, that reported targets are not reliable or complete when compared to the source information. I think it's an important element that is enabling us to develop an action plan to address it. The reported targets are not accurate, sorry, I've addressed that one. The planned and reported performance targets are not specific, but we need to be smarter in terms of the way we define our targets so that they are indeed measurable, and hence we can enhance our accountability in relation to them, and that we are not adequately presenting our reported information in an appropriate format. There's a disjuncture in some instances, again, between reported information and the planned targets. Bearing in mind that this audit was done on specific programs, it did not cover every single program in the department, but our approach to it has been to pick up on those issues as if they are consistent across all programs and learn from the audit that has been done and put in place an action plan in relation to it. If we then move to the next slide, please. I'm going to speak to the DCF's response on the adverse opinion in the same way that the CFO has spoken to an action plan around the qualification on asset management. We have developed an action plan, and yes, indeed, to preempt the question, we can make it available. We have developed an action plan to address the areas of the adverse opinion on performance information, and we will be monitoring it monthly. Part of it involves ensuring that the new framework that has been published now by the National Treasury is implemented in the department, and it will certainly enhance our ability to improve our performance information. There are elements of that strategic framework that we have already embedded in the department. There are others that we will embed now in our mid-year review that takes place during the rest of this month and into November. Our planning and MER policies are being revised in line with those changes coming from Treasury, and that again will provide a framework that is consistent with what is expected by the National Treasury guidelines, and that certainly will also enhance reporting to the Portfolio Committee, because those strategic plan guidelines now require us to report on a quarterly basis to Treasury, to the Portfolio Committee, and to the Presidency. There are proposals that we are developing in relation to increasing the capacity of the department to enhance planning and reporting, recognizing that this has been an add-on function, has been something that is done by people not necessarily specialized, in performance and reporting, and that we recognize that from center level upwards, we need to have that particular capacity in place. The Planning, Resourcing and Reporting Coordinating Committee is in place and will improve on integrated planning, and the framework that we've received in terms of strategic planning from Treasury really does enable a better approach to integrated planning, because it obliges us to look at strategy, to look at our human resource provisioning, our human resource development needs, our information system needs, our technology needs, our procurement needs, and our financial needs to support every single strategy. And that, I think, will go a long way to the concern that's been articulated by the Portfolio Committee, that some of the elements that you've seen have reflected inadequacies in our planning, and we would certainly agree with you that the integrated planning is where the hub of our turnaround needs to lie. We are providing quarterly feedback to the budget program managers, in other words, to the CDCs and the responsibility managers, the regional commissioners, on the quality of their reporting, so that we are able, as we go through the financial year, to improve on the quality of that reporting. We have also done an exercise with the budget program managers of auditing what is in place per budget program in relation to the performance indicators. We are looking at whether the performance standards have been adequately defined. We're looking at whether the baseline on that indicator has been clearly identified. We're looking at whether the target has been set correctly for this financial year vis-a-vis that baseline information. We are looking at the collecting tool that is being used from centre level and ensuring that it's the same tool that's used from centre level to management area to regional level to national level, which will address some of the inconsistencies between what's reported at management area and what's reported at other levels that the AG had picked up on. We have done that audit. We are in the process then of taking the necessary steps to ensure that those elements are put in place. We have also identified that in relation to some of the indicators, there's a need for us to very clearly define exactly what it is that we are wanting to measure, because there are a variety of different interpretations of those indicators at centre level. The mid-year review process that we are going into in 2 weeks' time will look at the critical areas, and we will certainly be taking issues from yesterday's discussion with the Portfolio Committee as well as from today into that mid-year review process to try and address it. We have an ongoing process of trying to interact with the managers to enable the improvement of the performance information, and reporting on performance information is now taking place to the National Commission on a monthly basis against the 44 indicators that are in the strategic plan. So I think in essence we have an action plan, we have a turnaround approach with a partnership between the National Commission, the CFO, the OMS, and our budget program managers and our regional commissioners to be able to address the weaknesses that have been identified in the auditing process. I think, Chairperson, if we leave it at that, we will certainly be able to provide you with the detail on that process. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Reiner. It's now open up to members to ask questions on any matter. Yes, Chief will be number one, Kwele, and Faliso will be two, Mamnyanda will be three, Mdaka will be four.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the slide, Program Administration, Central Services, bullet 2. Can the department give us the exact number, not the percentage, of those that were convicted? And who were they?
Thank you, Chairperson. So will the department explain to us when will the construction, renovation, and upgrading of the three facilities, Sierra Sun, Rainstorm, and Brandfleet, be completed? The strategic plan of 2009-10-13-14 indicated that the feasibility study report on procurement of head office will be completed. to enable work to resume towards the end of 09-10 financial year. What are the results of the feasibility study? Can we get a report on that? And has construction of the new HOT offices been already consumed or started? Because this report comes a long way, National Committee. It is every time reported on the financial years, but there is no progress report on this. Can we get progress report then?
Manana?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm referring to 148 in the financial security. 71 million was underspent under program security. I just want to find out, because money was there, why was there no budget for this security? But 71 million was there. And my second question is that, what is the current status of vetting in the department, and what is the time frame for vetting of all officials in the department? Thank you, Chairperson.
Before we get to that, let's ask the
first question. Chairperson, let me start with the last one. On the question of vetting, this is a thorny issue which we have attempted to address. In the discussion of yesterday, the statistics that we provided, I don't have the figures, but it is very clear that we have a very low vetting process within DCS. I can report confidently in this meeting today that I had a meeting with National Intelligence on the 6th, and we discussed this matter. Yesterday, I got a call confirming that the team will be on site on the week starting the 25th of this month. As to how long it will take, that I cannot report to, because vetting means it's a long process. Suffice to indicate that I had indicated in my interaction with them that senior management will be the first line of vetting, and therefore I can indicate to this committee that this process will be dealt with in the shortest period possible. On the question of procurement of the HQ facility, which Mampalesa has indicated, I've been duly informed, and correctly so, that there has been a draft project on this matter. I will be informed and also be advised by the facilities team during the course of next week as to how the draft looks like, and also indicate that once this matter has been firmly put on my table, we'll take a decision going forward. Because it is important that we build a facility that is appropriate with the type of activity that we do, take into account the green environment that is now becoming an issue. I'm happy that, with, of course, reservation, that there has been this slight delay, because we need to have functional facilities which will be able to incorporate all the aspects in terms of energy saving, space saving, and be able to deal with the matters of security. Currently, the facility that we occupy is inadequate and inappropriate for what we are supposed to be doing. I can indicate to this committee that we shall come back to yourselves in a letter form to indicate as to the status with respect to the building of the new headquarters of Correctional Services. My colleagues will respond to the other aspects of the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the question of under expenditure on security, indeed, there was an under expenditure on security program under compensation of employees. As we indicated during the finance presentation, the main contributors are indicated on slide 5 of the presentation, where we had projected for the GEMS migration, and the actuals didn't realize, because we projected on an advanced contributing scheme, and GEMS is an area contributing scheme. There was money that was allocated, though under moratorium, but Kimberley, for capacitating the new Kimberley Correctional Center,
the posts there were not under moratorium. So there was money allocated for filling of the posts for Kimberley, but at the end of the financial year, not all of those posts were filled. So that money contributed also to the 71 million under expenditure that is reflected on page 148. And also there was a backlog of students who was in the previous dispensation before always the new OSD for correctional officials. When we recruit new recruits, we take them at a lower level, level 3. When they finalize their learnership, which is a minimum 12 months, 3 months in the college, and 9 months actually in the center for on-the-job training, when they finalize and they are quality assured by SASITA, then when they meet all the requirements and they graduate, they then move from level 3 to salary level 5. So at the end of the financial year, we had a group of students that were qualifying to move from level 3 to level 5. But in terms of paying their money at the end of the financial year, that was still outstanding. So we have effected that this financial year. So that's part of 71 dollars. They would be under the security stream, those students.
Yes, sir. Yes. Just to respond to the progress on the three Western Cape projects, on Sirius, we are now currently at 61% progress. We anticipate the project is not running behind schedule, and we should be able to complete, according to the latest report, the end of the first quarter in next financial year. The Vereensdorp is at 79% complete currently, and we anticipate also to be completed in the first quarter of 2011. Brandvlei is at 97% complete, and we expect it to be, when I say completion, I'm referring to the building contractor to be complete the construction in the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2010. So it sounds 97, but it's a big project. It takes a lot of time to finish off all the details. So it's fairly advanced in terms of construction, but the expected completion of the construction is beginning of the fourth quarter. Commissioner,
you want to be reminded?
No, I'm on top of that question. If you look on page 48, the figures are given. What we don't have in the annual report, obviously, is exactly who the individuals are involved in the cases. But we've got, out of the cases, 109 were found guilty, 97 were either acquitted or not guilty, and the cases withdrawn were 12. But we can certainly follow up and provide you with details of those cases, but I certainly don't have that at my fingertips.
All right. Mam Daka, but just to remind departments, as you respond to Mam Daka's questions, you still need to answer Mr. Abraham's questions around the catering, around the closure of the workshop. So when you answer, you must follow up on those two. But let's take Mam Daka. And then next, and then Babando.
Thank you, Chairperson. Both the annual report and the strategic plan 2010, 2013, 2014 did not have clear measurable targets, especially in terms of care programs in DCS. For 2009 and 2010. It therefore makes it difficult to establish if whether the DCS managed to reach those targets and if money allocated has been spent on budgeted programs. Number two, Chairperson, on their 8 September 2010 presentation, offender rehabilitation, page 11. The department mentioned that 9,932 offenders were attended by psychologists. In 2009-2010, however, this report states that 9,494 offenders were attended
by psychologists in 2009-2010 financial year. Can the department provide clarity on these discrepancies? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable
Nack,
I thank
you, Chairperson. Just to say that the vetting, there's a table on page 29 of the document which we dealt with yesterday, which is a serious concern because there's a lot of work to be done still. I just want to know, is there any, were those vetted, does this vetting have any change in attitude, behavioral, positive behavioral actions with the members? And secondly, on page 90 of the annual report, only in 83 cases, victims make representations against 24,800 in these parole applications. Is that because the department can't trace them, or what has been done, or why is it so low? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with Mr. Abraham's question. On the issue of the feasibility study, a feasibility study on the outsourcing of nutrition services was commissioned. It was not reported in this annual report because the service provider was still finalizing the results. The results have now been finalized. The report has been provided to us, and we are going to be presenting it with the service provider to the National Management Committee, at the next National Management Committee. So that report has been finalized, Chairman. Chairperson, with regards to the issue of, as we had discussed previously on this issue, the focus of Mr. Abraham's question is on the optimal utilization of staff, of offenders, sorry, my apologies. We do indeed agree and accept that we are sitting with a challenge. We need to see it in context, Chairperson, with regards to offender utilization in production workshops. And we did a presentation in this regard, and I think the portfolio committee also concurred. We have a situation where, with the production workshops, we have to identify offenders in relation to the number of artisans. So for every artisan, there's 8 offenders that have to go out to work in the production workshop. And the challenge we have is that the OSD for artisans has created a very serious problem for us in the department as well. But in general, it's very difficult to recruit and retain artisans. I think at the previous portfolio committee, the portfolio committee chairperson, and even when we are going on the portfolio committee visit, has indicated that we need to join hands on this issue of artisans to try to deal with the issue of artisans nationally so that we can really bring in more artisans into the department. And that is the support we would really welcome, Chairperson, so that we can enhance the work in the production field. Having noted that, we also are issuing a communication to the heads of correctional centers where we are saying that in certain areas, some of these facilities indeed are also not optimally utilized. I think when we went to Pretoria, we noted that at the textile area when they were making those little handbooks, not English and Afrikaans, towel. There were a few spaces that were open, but there were people on site. And we do realize, Commissioner spoke about accountability on the ground. So we really need the internal controls that we want to cascade onto the ground. We really need to have those processes in place so that the officials on the ground are really making optimal utilization of the facilities that are there. With regards to the farms, we have 21 farms. The figures that are quoted are per offender per day. There's an average number of offenders that are on the site per day. We have not since 1983 added on any farms to our facilities, Chairperson. And I think we did a presentation to your committee in that regard. Indeed, We agree with the portfolio committee. We need to look at other innovative ways to enhance the number of offenders that go out, particularly on agricultural fields. Because we need to at least, if we need to help, get them to clean and put up weeds. The one issue that was raised previously is that offenders prefer not to work on the agricultural side. A lot of them want to go into skills development, but I think you have heard the minister has also made a very firm pronouncement. Offenders will not be sitting in the cells. Offenders will not be sitting in the cells idling. They will be required to go out and work. So we are busy working on a project where we are going to look at ensuring that offenders go out. The act that talks to may be utilized in the area of work. We need to seriously look at that and change that act so that we can ensure that offenders go out and work and that they do not have the luxury or the choice to sit into the cell. So that is work that is currently under progress. What we are looking at is a scientific base as well, because you also need to know how many offenders can really go out to work in terms of the capacity that is there. So that is work in progress. But there's a firm commitment for the heads of correctional centers to increase the number of offenders on the field. Mr. Abraham spoke about suitably qualified offenders. Chairperson, you would note that the categories of offenders in our facilities have changed. The nature of offenses have changed. So we are sitting with more maximum classified offenders. And that makes it very difficult. If you want to take maximum offenders out into the field, and you heard yesterday on the optimal utilization of staffing, you sit with this risk of the security versus optimal utilization of offender labor. So indeed, we have to be creative and think out of the box. With the shift systems that's in place, we may want to look at, and this is what we're currently discussing now, taking two groups of offenders, a group in the morning as Team A, and a group in the afternoon as Team B. So you have an increase of offender participation. So instead of one team working for the whole day, you split it. So we're looking at these ways to incentivize. When offenders go out to work, they also get a gratuity. But I think the minister has also pronounced we should not be looking at providing gratuity to offenders, all offenders who work, because offenders should keep themselves busy and occupied. So this is the field and the area that we're looking into. But to create that balance of sending them out into the field and the security and the optimal utilization of the staff to provide that balance is what we are focusing on now.
Thanks, Chairperson. With regard to the question by the Honorable Max, with regard to the poor participation of victims in parole board sitting, Chairperson, it is very true. But I think also what was raised yesterday with regard to that participation was what were the positive factors. The factors mentioned was that the difficulty of tracing some of the victims, also victims not willing to take part in the parole board sittings, and also Chairperson, some victims not willing to be part of the parole board hearings. I think it's also a cluster problem, because it was important to know that when a crime is committed, the South African Police Services complete an SAP 62, wherein the details of the victims are also noted. And as part of us ensuring that victim participation and also in compliance to the victim's charter, correctional services and the cluster department have engaged in a robust exercise to include and to cause that department also work together in ensuring that during parole board sittings, victims are also taking part. We are aiming to improve on that dramatically, because it is important that victims of crime take also part in parole board sittings.
Chairperson, I will respond to that for you, Commissioner. Yes. May I just start off by addressing
the Honourable Member Nyanda's issue of yesterday. She wanted to know about the discrepancy of the five psychologists, and we indicated that they were community-serving psychologists. The information we provided was for the permanent psychologists. But I've just got a breakdown. The five community-service psychologists, there are two at Drakenstein, one at Palsmore, one at George, and one at Goodwood. So that's the breakdown. And we have signed the approval of 8 more community service psychologists for the next financial year. And they will be broken down into the different regions as well. We've also had a major advert going out for more psychologists in the department that went out on the 26th of August. And it's just good to note in one of the areas like Mtata, they've had quite a few interested candidates because the idea is to also go out and to access into the rural areas so that there's support being provided there. With regards to the discrepancy, indeed, it's the Honourable Member Ndaka, that's an appropriate observation. The issue, I know the last time when we looked at this, the chairperson said we is not focusing on numbers, it's the access to the thing. The number of offenders. But in terms of the fluctuation, what we've had is, you remember we'd had a retention strategy that worked very well, so we had a whole lot of new psychologists coming into our department. So when the psychologists come in, there's a training that has to go, that has to occur, that they have to engage in. So the whole issue of the monitoring and the evaluation and the recording of information also has to be done. So what we have found is that has not occurred on a consistent basis. It takes them a few months to get into the groove of the work, and then they start recording. So in this financial year, those numbers will definitely be picked up because we don't have the luxury of having managers for psychologists throughout the country. They're working very much on their own. So this means that our MIS, our Management Information System, should also need to be enhanced. With regards to the non-measurable targets, Shrana, I'm not sure, you did a presentation, I think it was sometime earlier on in this year. What we have acknowledged, indeed, the department is now moving into an area of performance indicators. And in the area of care and development, targets were not set as we should be. But going forward, we have now got approximately 14 performance indicators in the branch development and care, against which we have to report. You will note even in the annual report, there are some areas where those baselines have not been established. They were not established last year. So the commitment is going forward, and because we're going to be performance audited, we have to put systems in place to ensure that we will be able to have targets. So the targets of last year will serve as a baseline going forward for the targets into the following year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, there's a question by Mr. Max on the question of vetting. Indeed, when you look at the presentation on page 29, these are high numbers. As to whether there is a behavioral change, it's very difficult for us to measure precisely because the numbers that have been vetted are very low. Suffice to indicate that the concern that we have is that in a department of this nature where security is key, you cannot have a large number of your members not vetted. But what has been done in the interim is that our security standards component is on a process of what is called awareness and training. We're looking at document control systems. We're looking at access control and also general security measures around the organization. Because this is going to be a long process by national intelligence supported by the police. We believe that this matter should have been dealt with from the beginning. Now, the fact that we have high levels of officials not being vetted is a cause for concern, and this management, of course, has taken a conscious decision. And that is why the intervention that I've made of contacting the relevant entities in the security cluster to help us to fast-track the process. I've indicated that we cannot put a date as to when most of the officials ideally would like to see about 40 to 50% in the current period, depending on the capacity of NIA. There is a general a request by all departments, new ones also, that they would like to have their people vetted. So we need also to understand that NIA has its constraints, but we appreciate the fact that they've come so quickly to us to assist in this regard. I hope this responds to the question. Behavior is very difficult. Human beings in their nature. There is no way that you can say because he has been vetted or she has been vetted, her behavioral standards will change. It has to do with the ethics that the person carries with him or her. Thanks, Chair.
Baba Dovo.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are only two questions. There is this like which says draft protocol on foreign nationals was developed. Is there any possibility of seeing this draft protocol? That's the first question. The last question, Chairperson, on page 183 on the report, talk about leadership. There are four items under the heading. Do we have, Chairperson, may I request that should we have a time frame on these things so that we know exactly what you are talking about? Because it seems as if when the National Commissioner was responding to it, they responded as if they are being devolved down to the regions and so on. But should we have a time frame of when and how and when they will be reported for implementation for the sake? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask the department on page 45 of the annual report. 2.5 million was recovered from the 4.5 million. 702 officials who defrauded the department medical aid scheme. What happened to these officials? Is there any action steps? Are there any of them that missed? And besides the fact that I got a paragraph in the book, in the report, that indicates with regard to disciplinary actions against the SMS members, I could not find any information with regards to how many officials were disciplined and what the sanctions imposed during those processes. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. This question I was supposed to ask it yesterday. A total number of 2,800 cell phones have been confiscated in inmates at access control point. How did this cell number get into the center? Can I be clarified? 2,000. 800. Okay, the person. I nearly forgot to ask this question, and it worries me a lot, Chairperson. Mine is around the Rustenburg head of Correctional Centre, who was confronted with allegations of sexual harassment. He pleaded guilty of that, and demoted or whatever happened to him. But my main concern, Chairperson, the management of Rustenburg in this case provided the employee with minutes to enable him to formulate his grounds to appeal in clear terms. What happened to that management? And why is he still residing on the premises of the Rustenburg Correctional Service Centre, where some of the complainants also reside there? Number last, what have you done as the department to comfort those complainants? Because they are busy every day up and down with this head. Oh, I don't like that. With that head of Rustenburg. If I was there, I was going to fire him. He was not supposed to stay with those people, man. Can you explain? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The report indicates that installation of video postponement could not be managed in 11 centers. It should be noted that even in the past financial year, 08-09, the same target could not be met due to the readiness of this center. Surprising that the very same reason is given for the reported year. The department should explain to us what happened to the money that was budgeted for this project. Thank you.
Thank you, department.
Chairperson, I would like Mr. Van Anra to respond to the last one, and then Mr. Modisa will respond on the cell phone, and Ms. Bond would provide us with responses on the Rustenburg, and I will also add my few comments on that one. And I should think those are the questions. And the draft protocol, I'll respond to that. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Anybody from any one of them?
Thanks, Chairperson. I would like to respond to the question that was raised by the Honorable Nyanda with regard to the cell phone. Chairperson, it is true that we have a challenge with the smuggling in of cell phones. That is why at our control point, at the access control and at the gate, at each and every correctional center, we have put up searching equipment. But also we have put up X-ray scanners at our bigger institutions to detect all unauthorized items that firstly officials carry and want to provide to offenders, but also offenders themselves trying to smuggle in unauthorized items and contraband. Now, it's important to know that these cell phone chips, and most of them, were found at our control gates. But there are instances where we have even found more cell phones inside our facilities. We have engaged with the South African Police Services and our own emergency support teams to conduct unannounced searches. And it is true, from time to time we do find cell phones. So, Chairperson, our officials and also offenders are equally responsible for carrying in some of the cell phones. But also, we do have from time to time members of the public that come in to do some work whom we have caught bringing cell phones into our facilities. We are, as a department, seriously considering putting up barring mechanisms and equipment to ensure that even though cell phones might be in our facilities, we are in a position to ensure that no calls can be made from our center. We are trying to put up better equipment at our gates and control points, largely to search our officials and offenders and whoever comes into our facilities. With regard to the question that was posed about the readiness of our video postponement facility, Chairperson, the work that was supposed to have been done by some of the SMFEs and the companies that had been appointed on contract basis was in such a way that we had to redo it all over again this financial year. I must at this point announce that at our bigger institutions, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Bloemfontein, Port Elizabeth, our facilities now have been finished. And we are awaiting the promulgation of those places as cause for postponement. Once that has been done, Chairperson, we'll then be able to operate from our facilities, largely to postpone cases, but also to listen to the preliminaries with regard to appeals that offenders want to raise, that they get registered and be sent to the courts that are responsible to hear appeals. There are instances, Chairperson, where work has not progressed to such an extent that we had again reviewed taking that on own resources, that offenders who are qualified as bricklayers to also through the supervision of officials to make sure that those facilities within our centers are ready. We should be able to provide a better report, Chairperson, at the end of the after this meeting that we are having, for the benefit of yourself and the committee members. Thank you, sir.
In terms of cell phones, all the measures you're talking about is fine, but we need time frames. We think that we have to have a mechanism of blocking signal. It's just too high risk to have cell phones in there. So that one, we will keep monitoring you as far as is possible. Can others talk to the other issues? Let me just remind you, sexual harassment, medical aid fraud, leadership time frames, foreign nationals.
Sorry, Jefferson. I just want to say that I'm jumping in. I don't understand it. If you are in the security facility, are you telling me that the cellular phone can go everywhere inside the correctional facility? Are you telling me that there is no security, that the cellular phone can go anywhere inside? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Because there are gadgets that the cellular phone cannot operate anywhere. I can't believe it. I don't know.
With regard to the issue of the sexual harassment against the Rustenburg Head of Correctional Center, I think we had responded in some detail in the presentation that was provided yesterday to the honorable members. The delegated authority has the discretion to provide the minutes of the disciplinary hearing to whoever is being charged in order for them to formulate a defense. So that is within the powers of the delegated authority. With regard to why he is still residing at the center, while he is processing his appeal, it's not possible for the department to evict him from the accommodation that he is residing in, because as we are indicating in our response there, once an appeal is being formulated, it's regarded as a so-called stay of execution. So until the outcome of that appeal has been decided on, it would not be possible to evict him because that would be legally unsound. With regard to the complainants and what has been done to assist them, we have not received a report from the region about exactly what is being done to assist the complainants, but we will follow up on that and make sure that some employee assistance intervention is being put in place also to assist those that are affected.
Let's just add to that so that maybe you can respond, because the real question that I think the member is asking, you know, if I've done something wrong here and this is our company, you normally suspend me so that I don't interfere with the evidence. In this particular case, is there something being done to ensure that the head of department, remember his power from his position, is there something being done to ensure that he is not intimidating the people that are raising it against him? Because otherwise it doesn't help that he's in close proximity to them. He could intimidate them to silence, whatever. I think that's the concern the members have. Is there a measure that he's not intimidating people? I understand that he must stay there, but you know what? If he's done something wrong, we'll take him from there and take him to Pretoria for the sake of justice. Justice must overcome any other thing. We can't say that, well, he's innocent until proven guilty, but then we're trampling on the victim. Justice, I think, must prevail. Let's move him from there if he must be moved. If you've got something in place that ensures he's not intimidating people, or if they don't feel intimidated, then it's fine. I'm saying you must just make sure that that doesn't happen. All right.
Chairperson, can I assist on the issue of the medical aid fraud?
I recognize that Mr. Max is asking that from a position of newness to the committee. It's an issue that goes through a number of years. So they have indeed been, it originates from a joint DCS Scorpions investigation around medical aid fraud in 2002-03. So indeed there have been disciplinary steps taken. There was, in addition, there were criminal charges against some of the medical personnel involved in that fraud. What we're dealing with here is the result of the disciplinary hearings. So they've been through the disciplinary hearings. There was a significant time delay between when the fraud actually took place, which was in the late 90s, when it was investigated in the disciplinary processes. There has been a process put in place in which they have been given final written warnings, depending on the nature, and I don't have the detail for all of the 702 of them. But they have been given disciplinary sanctions by the disciplinary committee, part of which was either face certain consequences or refund the money. And it's that element of the refunding of the money that we're reporting on in this financial year. If you look in the previous financial year on page 26, you will get some of the earlier history of that particular process.
Foreign letters, draft legislation or draft protocol?
Chairperson, with respect to the draft protocol, as well as the time frames in terms of the bullet points that are on page 133. Certainly will provide the committee with a list and the time frames. I should think in the short and sweetness of the matter. The copies are available.
All right. Before Paliso and then followed by Nyanda, Mr. Abraham indicated that he read some article in the newspaper where somebody brought his car in for service. Did somebody bring his car in and what is happening to that? Or are you still verifying the facts?
Chairperson, I would personally take responsibility of this, acquaint myself which center, if it's in, is it Pretoria? I will avail myself to do that investigation, and within a week I'll provide a report as to what has happened actually, because I'm sitting here without the full information that an honorable member has. That is completely unacceptable. We cannot have personal matters being dealt in our facility. It's a breach of security. It's also it's imposing their authority on their subordinates. It cannot be accepted.
And Chair, whether that facility has been shut down and 45 inmates who want to do something are now idle.
Chairperson, I don't know whether I was sleeping, but I couldn't hear that my question was answered. The one that, what happened to the money that was budgeted for the project of the installation of the video. I couldn't hear that. I was answered. The second one, Chairperson, the answer of the sexual harassment is not enough. The department must give us a commitment here, because Rustenburg is a concern, a commissioner. Every time we visit Rustenburg, go there with oversight. It's always women who are harassed by men in that center, and it is a cause of concern. So we want a commitment today. Is this man going to be removed from the premises to another center to go and work there until the case is resolved? It is not enough that he's still within the press. Yes, he's innocent until proven guilty, but he cannot be on that premises. It's not enough. He's harassing the women there. It's not the first time we are picking up on things in the right
way. All right, Mamnyanda.
Thank you, Chairperson.
No, we'll allow you after that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered by Lisa, but my concern is that we're in Rustenburg. We came back here, we reported to the department concerning beauty. Until today, we didn't get a response. And she's working under pressure there in Rustenburg. She's treated by the male inmates, staff members there. And until up to now, Commissioner, I don't know, Medusa, you were there. And we reported this matter. Where is the answer?
chairperson, if they can clarify very well to me about this one. He is guilty until...
Talking about that tender?
Yes.
Yeah.
He pleaded guilty. So what I want to know, Chairperson, what is this appeal business is all about? About the demotion? Is he appealing about the demotion or because he pleaded guilty on those charges? So if they can clarify furthermore, because I'm a little bit confused now, because you appeal and appeal and appeal.
Can somebody help us on this one now? Otherwise, we will ask you to give us the detail later on.
Yeah. Chair, because of the sensitivity and the seriousness with which this matter is being dealt, I'll take it personally with our corporate service unit so that we have a sense. I can report here that I did speak to the chairperson about this matter because there was a letter sent to him, and I've met the lady myself. I want to indicate that once a matter is raised with me, I take action on it. I sat with the lady. We had a discussion. I understood her problem. But certainly, we cannot allow our colleagues to be harassed during the course of their duty. Certainly, in this case, I'll take it further with the corporate service so that we find a solution that satisfies all of us, and including herself, so that she's not subjected to psychological and physical trauma. Thanks, Chair.
Last round. Anybody wants to ask a question? It's the last round. We're starting with Jovu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we'll go to Abdallah. Then we'll come to Mamnian Redia.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question by Honorable Paliso regarding the video has not been responded.
No, before, yeah, we have to respond to that one. Please repeat the question about your video. Or have people captured the question? Please.
Chairperson, the modification of the video arraignment facilities at our correctional centers is a project that is being done by ourselves and justice. We provide labor, and justice provide the budget. I will be in a position to provide the committee with the actual budget that the Department of Justice has provided. I do not have the actual figures at this point in time, but the figures are there. I did not bring them with me, but I will provide them to the committee once I'm done. Thanks.
Thank
you, Chair. On this particular issue, Chair, in the 2009 August 26 presentation, it was mentioned that the video remand project in 7 facilities has made very good progress. In the report here, to which Honorable Member Paliso referred, you say that only one facility out of 12 which were targeted for the 2009-10 budgetary year has been upgraded with video postponement rooms. Now, there is a contradiction. Can you perhaps clear up this contradiction? Secondly, Chair, yesterday we asked a question regarding a newspaper report that a person who was to testify in a poaching trial was visited in prison because that person is serving a prison term, and that the people that visited him had threatened him, and that person is now withdrawing from giving evidence in court. The argument was that when the authorities tried to trace who those people were, they were unable to do so because those people allegedly had gone in under false pretenses. Now, these are the allegations, Chair. We asked this yesterday. I expected that today at least we would be told, because this is an important issue which concerns the administration of justice, which is being hampered. Furthermore, Chair, I would like to make it abundantly clear that no legislation, no new plan, or whichever draconian measures, and no budget can contribute to successful transformation. If, Chair, we do not have officials with the competence, discipline, and integrity to make it work. And that is the bottom line, Chair. And that is, I believe, where this department should focus now. To see that we have the officials that possess these qualities. Because when we come here and we hear about cell phones being brought into a security facility, when we go out there and when we see certain things in front of our eyes, it tells us, Chair, and this is a challenge for the new commissioner, it tells us that we are in a Mickey Mouse institution. And Chair, this is how people are viewing our correctional centers on the ground. We mix with the ordinary people, this is what we pick up. And if we don't change this perception, Chair, we will go from bad to worse. I heard Mrs. Moodley saying that because some of the offenders have been sentenced to very long terms and what have you and what have you and what have you, we cannot utilize them for labor. Chairperson, but surely a maximum facility should have the sort of facility within it where those people's skills or the development of skills for them can take place. If we are not going to work on a rehabilitative basis, Jack, then I'm afraid, why do we need such facilities in the first place? If we are afraid that people, because they are long-term prisoners, will probably run away, escape, then it's an indictment on us, Chair, on us who are running these institutions, that we are incapable of providing a safe place where both they are safe and catered for, and that the public outside are safe, that they will not escape from these institutions. So, Chair, all I'm saying is that if we don't focus on these things and see that as our turnaround plan, we are looking for trouble. And my one last word, sir. I have throughout my life propagated to everybody that the first thing you do is you buy your own house. You don't pay off someone else's bond. By the same token, Chair, why should the state have to enter into PPPs? You see, these modern people with these modern ideas. These ideas, Chair, are all aimed at the long-term money-making plan. That's what it comes down to. Chair, when you buy a property as an investment, you look at an amortization period. That if I am paying 20 million for this property must, within a minimum of 15 years, be paid off. And it must be my own property. That must be my pension fund. And that is how we should be looking at these facilities that we put up, Chair. Not where we in perpetuity are tying up the next generation and generations after that into debt. I mean, if you look at the amount of payments that this department has committed itself to, with the various, the Pezulu and the Pansi and the Pambili and the Mama contract and the Baba contract and all that, Chair, what are we doing to the next generation? How can we tie those people up? Our children, well, in my case, our grandchildren. So, Chair, I'm saying a challenge for the Commissioner. Let us come up with plans that are workable, where the facility is owned by the state and not something which we have to pay someone else for until thy kingdom come. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
Also, thank you for the presentation. I think, Chairperson, this time at least, the report, the department has been tried, but I think they must do more. I want to focus on challenges on HIV. I want clarity from the department. On page 80, on the challenges, it says, challenges experienced were the critical shortage of the official that can implement HIV and AIDS program and service in correctional center, non-availability of HIV and AIDS management area, coordinator belt tightening measure causing financial constraints. Now, Chairperson, when you read this report, you'll find that the report states that a total of 7,640 offenders were on ARVs treatment against a target of 5,100 in additional. Two sites were credited to provide entire treatment in Boxbeck and Krugersdorp, which brings the number of accreditation sites with DCS to 21. It is further reported that 10,730 offenders tested HIV positive against a total of 47,011. So, Chair, I want you to know that who were testing those people if department got these challenges of these people. Last one on HIV again, Chairperson. I want, in terms of the budget of the ARV, I want to know, Chairperson, that why was there no budget allocated for HIV in Eastern Cape? Since there is an explanation for Free State and Northern Cape, does this mean there were no offenders to require ARV in medication? Thank you.
How about that? Ma'am? Any further question?
Chairperson, two officers were said to have been reprimanded only in writing for approving price quotations to the value of 536,000. Instead of inviting bids for perishable, does this constitute enough deterrence for these officials and others to curb corruption, especially in tender processes? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, insufficient budget allocated for agriculture, budget under the direct control of agriculture personnel. Why? Can I get a clarity? Thank you.
Insufficient budget for agriculture. Thank you very much. Can the department respond?
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can just respond to the issue of the HIV and AIDS capacity. Chairperson, the HIV and AIDS directorate is a very young directorate. In 2003-2004, government identified an increase in the spread of this disease. So the Department of Correctional Services established the HIV and AIDS component. Previously, HIV and AIDS was being dealt with by the Directorate of Healthcare Services. We currently now have two directorates. What is happening is, on the ground, we have 6 HIV and AIDS regional coordinators. The work that is being done on the ground is being facilitated by the nursing staff. Indeed, that is a challenge, because the nursing staff has their own work and they have to do the HIV AIDS testing and counseling. And you would note that government has it was a VCT program, the voluntary counseling and testing. This year, the president made a call for the HIV and AIDS counseling and testing. So the testing that gets done on the ground, so because we are producing results, is done by the nursing staff. So we are sitting with the challenge that we do not have enough HIV and AIDS coordinators. But you will notice currently in the call for the Department of Health to look at the 4 service deliverables, the focus now is on making all nursing staff trained in primary health care, which means that all nursing staff will now be required to provide ARVs. So this calls us to review and revisit our structures ourselves and to ensure that we also train the nurses in primary health care. But what we find is when we train the nurses in primary health care, they invest a lot of money in there. As soon as they're trained, they get poached and they leave to get better salaries outside. So this is the work that's been done, and we are also looking at our own organizational structure to see how we can align this process with Shepherd's now. But safe to say, the work is being done. We really need to provide accolade to our officials on the ground who are doing this additional work on their behalf. And our ARV sites have now, with the 2, have increased to 21 sites. But going forward, all facilities, clinics in our Department of Correctional Services will have to be equipped to be able to provide ARVs through the training of the nursing staff. So that's an area we have to look at going forward that we need to invest a lot of energy in. So that's on the issue of HIV and AIDS. Why the budget was allocated to the Eastern Cape? Mm-hmm. The Eastern Cape has been provided free ARTs by the Provincial Department of Health. Mm-hmm. You'll notice the year before, Free State, Northern Cape, and Eastern Cape mm-hmm. have zero budget right. because they were provided free ARTs from their provincial.
5 minutes left, please. Anybody want to deal with the others? Yes, sir.
Thanks, Jefferson. The project manager of DCS with regard to video arraignment, it's reporting that Pretoria Correctional Center, they had local, the court is functional. The other 6 sites, all equipment is installed. They are just waiting for Department of Justice to install at court. This includes sites in Western Cape. 13 sites at correctional facilities have been refurbished and wait for systems, that is the systems of recording. And the 2 sites are behind schedule with contractors. But in total, 22 of all these facilities, we're hoping that by the end of November, they will be complete and operational. Thank you, sir.
Chair, on the triple P's. Oh, sorry. Ngugo will speak on the price quotations.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of the price quotations, and that the sanction of a written warning was it sufficient? I would say it will depend on the merit of the case. The reason being that irregular in terms of our procurement manual, there are cases of emergency where you need to follow a certain process without actually going on an official bid. And in this case, the official actually went beyond the regulated delegations in terms of inviting the bids. But having said that, we are monitoring all the cases where there might be those risks, because we are aware that most of the logistical officials, especially in our centers, are officials that are working in sections. When there is an emergency, then they are requested to go and work for a specific period in an area that he's not familiar with. And the possibility of actually committing those errors are quite high. As a result of that, as we speak now, there is a 2-week training that is taking place on procurement processes and specifically on quotation. procurement, because we also have observed that it might be an area of weakness from the point of view of those officials that are actually not familiar with the work where they have been requested to work.
Yeah. You know what, Bob? When these people on this side of the table, when they promulgate X and make it law, we expect that law to be carried out. We can't have a situation, and I don't know that 500,000 can be an emergency. If you said to me you're buying grandpas or you're buying a tire or whatever, I thought you mentioned 500,000 or something to that effect. I don't know that it can be an emergency. We hear what you said, but don't walk away from here thinking that you've convinced us. We don't think it's an emergency. There are laws around supply chain management. All of you know that this is probably the focus of everybody else. So go and encourage your people to do the correct thing as far as that is concerned, because they're not going to get away with it. There aren't any emergencies. Number three, there's been a constant cry that officials have businesses outside. You see, so all these things are things that are just going to attract attention to us. Because remember, we're a team. They'll attract attention to us when somebody comes and says, no, they did it because there was an emergency. R500,000 emergency. I will.
Thank you, Chairperson. What the Chairperson has alluded to is quite correct. There is no excuse of not following up with the procedures that are in place, even our act. If the members notice on my presentation, I highlighted on the compliance, because in our department itself, it's a point of concern, the compliance with the statute that are in place. Chairperson, already it's one of the challenges that one is needed to deal with at a very high level and make sure to go to the bottom of it, because it's very easy. It is clear to say anything from 1 rand to 499,000 is quotation. Anything above that is the quotation. So there is no excuse that we can put in front of this committee to say it's an emergency, because definitely we need that emergency. It shows that we did not plan on our side. We need to do the proper planning. Everything is need to be budgeted according to our strategic planning and then implement accordingly. So we don't have any excuse of that. One need to deal with those challenges, Chairperson, and make sure that we follow the right process. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Abraham spoke about the attitude of officials. I don't know if you want to talk to that, but I think that was just a proposal, comment. The issue around the rhino poaching intimidation. He's raised it yesterday and again today. I don't know if somebody wants to talk to that. The work opportunities for those that are even classified as maximum. And then finally, the insufficient budget for agriculture. Ma'am Daka, you wanted to raise a question. After that, we'll have to close because we're going to miss our bus. Yes, ma'am.
What are the steps taken by the department to assist offenders to secure bursaries and financial aid? Number two, Chairperson, in the 2008-2009 financial year, the department reported that 4 feasibility studies were conducted. No investigate the possible establishment of new bakeries within the department. What are the results of these feasibility studies?
Mm.
And where will these bakeries be established?
Chairperson, I just want to advise EDCS to make use of the professionals recruitment program, so that we cannot be always confronted with we don't have this capacity, especially in the HIV and AIDS one with the Department of Health and the University. Thank you.
Very briefly, members can respond to any of these. Yes, sir?
Chairperson.
Chairperson to respond on the insufficient budget for agriculture. Chairperson, in the month of May, the department was engaged on the zero-based budgeting because the purpose of that is to find out exactly whose budget, what allocation is being allocated to each and every program. When we finalized that zero-based, on the 17th of August, we took a decision that it reallocated the budget that was not spent. Around the agriculture, we allocated, although I don't have figures as in front of me, we allocated a substantial budget. As I'm sitting here last week, I was having a meeting with the person who's in charge for the directorate that is in charge for agriculture to find out that the budget that was reallocated to that directorate is enough. Indeed, he confirmed that it's enough at this point in time. Thank you, Chairman.
Bakery, education assistant, rhino poaching.
Rhino poaching, Chair, I'll have to acquaint myself with this. I'll look at the article as to where these facilities. But there was one question raised by Mr. Abrams on the Triple P. We have taken note of your comments, sir, that you don't want to have our children or your grandchildren to be indebted indefinitely. Certainly, quickly, Chair, on the question of Triple Ps, the policy review that the Minister has is that we should have a short time where in this Triple Ps, it should not be 25 years, there should be a turnaround because there's money that is involved. It can be made as short as possible. 5 to 10 years, it is possible, especially if there is a certain fee that is payable to these facilities. But it's an issue that we need to depend with yourself, and we need your support on this matter. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. We meet again on Wednesday. This is a journey, not an event this week. We meet again on Wednesday. So can we agree that around the rhino poaching, I think Mr. Abrams' question is, are there people that went in there that cannot be identified even to our systems? And then, of course, there's the whole issue around, let's apply our mind about how do we take the maximum, those that are classified maximum, and ensure that they work. And then, of course, the education assistance and the idea of a new bakery. We'll discuss them on Wednesday. I mean, these are just all things that we would need to discuss. We don't have to finalize them today. I want to add two to these things, because we are really working towards transforming this department and a better society. You know, at some point we Mashrine introduced this thing of center of expertise as opposed to center of excellence, because we don't believe you've got centers of excellence. Rustenburg is supposed to be a center of excellence. You can understand from the attitude of the people here. Now, we know that center of expertise would mean that people will be far away from home. But, you know, I'm prepared to go to the public and say that if everybody that wants to be a baker must go to Boksburg, even if he comes from wherever, it's in his interest to go to Boksburg. I'm prepared to have that fight. Those that want to be close to their mother and be idle, versus those that want to go to Boksburg and become the best baker, I'm sure we'd win that argument. So just think about these things, about moving from center of excellence, because I'm not sure what is the excellence at Rustenburg. But whereas if Rustenburg was a center of expertise where all plumbers were there, it means we don't have to have plumbers all over South Africa. We need to hire 10 plumbers at correctional services, and they go to Rustenburg. So this thing of being short of teachers or short of nurses is something that will be overcome. Plumbers in Rustenburg, bakers in Boksburg, painters in Durban, whatever the case might be, I think it's the way to go, as opposed to us saying that we want to transform, but we're doing nothing about it. So let's have that discussion. And the ups and the downs, and people like Mr. Munting and them will also be seeing us on Tuesday, I think. Maybe you guys must also think about these things, weighing up excellence versus expertise and the ups and downs of it, because really I don't think we're getting anything out of it, and people continuously saying I'm far from my mother's house. Well, some of us went to boarding school far from our mother's houses for many, many years. So let's talk about that one. And then the final thing that we're going to have to conclude on Wednesday is, you know, our budget's split. It's been our bugbear as this department, as this committee. I did calculations here somewhere. I think administration is 25% of the budget. Security is 35% of the budget. Corrections is 9%. Care is 11%. Development is only 3%. Social reintegration is 3%. Facilities is 12%. We've been encouraging you to start shifting that. Let's have a discussion about the challenges of shifting it, the time frames of shifting it, or your general disagreement with shifting it, whatever the case might be. We're not going to shift it. We don't think we were shifted. We believe it must be shifted because it's not in line with the white paper. Let's have those discussions on Wednesday. It's your last opportunity to sell the department to us. After Wednesday, we take decisions that are going to affect you drastically for many years to come. So it's an opportunity where we're meeting stakeholders on Tuesday. Maybe you must bring your expertise on certain matters. We meet you on Wednesday. Together, we then are able to chart the way forward so that both sides. If you fail, we fail. We fail, the minister fails. We all have to pass in this way. Yeah, we all have to win. Mr. Abraham.
Chair, I just want to ask the 2008 audit of the service provider in terms of catering. Was that responded to? I had to leave for a while.
Yes, it was responded.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But do we have a copy of the audit? Is it available to us?
It will eventually make its way to us.
Okay.
We've finished our side. National Commissioner, if you can wrap it up from your side.
Very quick. Just a remark. You know that I'm very new in this committee. It's my second day actually in the committee. And I've got hope for this department, really. I assessed them since yesterday, and I think among the top management, there's substance. There's really substance. And these issues which we address here is not insurmountable. It is just need the tightening up of managerial aspects, imposing of discipline, consequences to those who did not do not comply with instructions. And I must say, the commissioner comes in at a very fortunate opportunity. When a department is down, when you come in and you do two things right, it is stand out. But if you get in a department with a smooth running, then it's difficult because one thing wrong, everybody notices it. So you've got a challenge, Commissioner, and with the commitment of the chairperson and the rest here, I can see that it's harsh. We are. But it is in the interest of South Africa. It's the interest of this government, the people of the Western Cape, and the rest of the country. But I must say that you can disappoint us. We are here, as the chairperson said, after Wednesday, it's all in our hands. You've got the ball to play on Wednesday, but thank you so much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. We really thank you for the engagement and the contributions made today. Certainly, we go back to our offices enriched with the wisdom that has been shared with us. We cannot fail you, neither can we fail ourselves. Thank you very much for your interaction, but I would like also to request permission from the Chair to avoid previous occasions. Next week, Wednesday, I am in Botswana with a joint permanent commission for defense and security. And it's a must that we have to attend, if I may be excused on this. At the same time, the chief financial officer is in Durban. There's a case that he's attending that has to do with the provincial government. So we appeal that the delegation that I will send will be fully empowered to deal with the matters, and I have confidence in this team. Otherwise, it should not be dependent on me as a single person. The fact that I brought them here is because I have full confidence in them. If that is allowed, Chair, I would then be appreciative. Thank you very much, Chair.
We see you on Wednesday, and we see stakeholders on Tuesday. Thank you very much.
I don't know what I'm saying.